Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
You guys, it's time for our number one top rated, yeah, we beat out the Vogue podcast episode of Fat Mascara.
We beat out Vogue.
That's right. We're number one on iTunes Fashion and Beauty podcast this week. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
Let's keep up the good work. What do we have going
guys,
on this week?
Thank you for listening. All right. So I literally just touched down from London. I went to get a Charlotte Tilbury makeover, and I picked up some incredible tips.
Okay, what else are we talking about?
Then we're going to talk about the way women are shopping now.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen played DIY dermatologist, but she looks fine, so she's going to tell us about it.
And our big guest this week is Troy Surratt, fabulous makeup artist, and he's kind of a big deal in Japan. So let's get into it.
So listen, here's the thing. I just got back from London, and I'm still under the magic spell of Charlotte Tilbury.
How did your trip go?
It was freaking fantastic. I can't talk too much about it right now. Hush, hush.
But you can talk about that fabulous makeup you had. Yes. I saw the picture you posted. Everybody wants to know the tips.
First of all, run, don't walk, book a plane ticket to London to go to the Charlotte Tilbury Boudoir in Covent Garden. It's brand new. It opened around like December. It's freaking fabulous. Two floors. You book an appointment with, you can shop just for like, you know, the items on the top floor, but you can book an appointment in the bottom floor with an artist. They are so full. Like I tried to rearrange my appointment. No can do, even for like an editor. It's
wow.
So booked. But the energy is incredible. The music's incredible. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. But my makeup artist, Laura Brady,
mm-hmm.
I'll tag her on her Instagram because she's freaking great, taught me so much in 45 minutes, like more that I learned about makeup application in 45 minutes than I probably learned in 4 months just like on the job.
Really?
Yes.
So like what were some of her best tips?
Okay, here's some hot tips. One, and it's like you had to kind of see an application, but I am like super freaked out by lip liner because every time I do it, like one time I wore it to work and a guy that I worked with was like, oh, it's like Hoochie Mama Day or something. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
She sharpened it to the point where it was almost like an ice pick. She said like super sharp is what you want to get the really feathery line.
Okay.
And she really lined my whole mouth. None of this like just do the corners, the tops or whatever. She lined the whole mouth and she didn't fill it in like they tell you to. She just drew this like almost like a draftsman like little tiny lines around the mouth. And then she said, smile. And she found my Cupid's bow.
Mm-hmm.
And she just overdrew it a little bit and then filled it in.
Like, by overdraw, I've been hearing that a lot on like social media.
She just overdrew the Cupid's bow, like, by just a touch over the lip line.
Outside of where the redness of your lip is, a teeny bit.
Not the skin. It's not like you're drawing on, like, you know, your mustache area. But like just a tiny bit. And just that smiling gently will really show you where your lip ends and where your skin starts. And it's like, it's those three things. It's the super sharp point, the, you know, light touch, mm-hmm. and the smile. And I was like, oh my God, I have, you know, full lips where I don't.
Your lips did look kind of juicy.
They were juicy,
right?
Did
she use a color that was similar to your...
Yeah, she used, well, she said Pillow Talk looks amazing on everyone.
What is that?
It's a very pale pink. Charlotte uses it herself.
Uh-huh.
It's just very subtle. You know, it's not like too cutie pie. It's just really nice and subtle.
And what about the brows?
Oh, I have an amazing tip for brows.
Brows were on fleek, which I hate when people say that,
but they were. That was like, you open up dictionary on fleek, they were like my brows, okay? So she said start. She used, you know, her brow pencil, which is, you know, angled and, you know, has a, you brush through them first to get out all the junk. And I was like, junk? Sure enough, there is junk in your brows.
Like what?
If you're like moisturizing first and putting on foundation, get that crap out. So it had a little spoolie end. So, you know, you can use that or use whatever you have at home. Get the crap out. Then she used light feathery strokes to go through the brows, but you start, here you go, start two-thirds in. Do not start at the head, because she said once you start at the head of the brow, which is the stuff that's like closer to like the middle of your face, that's when things start looking very theatrical. And it starts looking heavy and blocky. You almost like don't do that much to the hair that's like at the
near
head,
the bridge of your nose,
because that's when you start looking like a reality television star.
Oh.
Really just drag
like
out
the outer third or outer two thirds.
Outer two thirds get the most play.
That's where you're sketching in the little hairs, mm-hmm. with the brow pencil.
You can go a little crazy there. She was going a little crazy.
But it's further away from the center of your face, so it doesn't look crazy.
Exactly. It's like an optical illusion. Like,
I'm into it.
People think, oh, I'm looking at just like natural brows, but no, it's just a It's like a heightened version of your natural brows.
Yeah.
The last tip I'm going to share with you. I have very like bluish, purplish under eyes just because I'm fair and like tired all the time. So,
and because you went all the way to freaking London for a makeover.
And I'm back podcasting. So
what do you do about under eyes?
So she doesn't put any foundation on the under eyes. She like almost, it was like creepy. She like left those eyes like all scary while the rest of my foundation was perfect.
Uh-huh.
Then she put in the foundation, then she put in the concealer, super light. Then she threw some translucent powder over it. She goes, I'm just going to let that sit. Then she did the dramatic.
Oh, she baked.
She baked, but not like,
Cake
it was. It was not. Yeah, it was just like she brushed it on. It was not loose.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like 20 minutes later, to be fair, this was not normal. Like getting ready for work makeup, we were doing this for 40 minutes. But the point was, she said two layers of concealer. The first one sets the base. Throw the translucent powder on, and then the last layer will really just make it pop. I'm like, this sounds too intense. This is for like, you know, theater people.
Mm-hmm.
That last layer just locked onto the first layer, and it. I had no dark circles. I had that makeover probably around noon. I was out till super late that night, and I never needed to touch up.
So concealer, powder, concealer.
Yes, and then even a little bit more powder on top. I know that sounds aggressive, but
you didn't look crazy though.
I looked super natural. I kept on saying, look, it's daylight. I've got things to do, people to meet. Like I was meeting like a work person. Like I don't want to look stupid.
No, these are very good tips.
You
are speechless.
Yeah, they know their stuff. You have to go in and talk to the expert. Stop futzing around by yourself. Ask for help. This is why they're paid. It's her passion.
Jess, I feel like we need to take a break to come down from your super passionate makeover.
I need a minute.
You got really worked up there, but it actually leads us into another topic I know we wanted to talk about, which is that article on Racked that our bud Beth Shapori wrote.
Beth Shapori, love.
It's actually about the very thing you're talking about, which is who are the real beauty experts and what can you even learn from a beauty salesperson these days? So tell me, what was the article about?
Yeah, so Beth did this incredible piece, and we'll link to it on the blog, and it was saying how people, millennials, are shopping differently. differently. They're empowered by like YouTubers, the internet, like 70% of them know what they want before they even go to the store. They don't want to spend like, you know, they don't want to go to the counter and like, you know, schmooze for 20 minutes before getting upsold like three things. You know, like they just want to go in and out.
They is me. I kind of feel like that. I just am like, I go into Sephora and I'm like, they say, do you need any help? No, I got this, honey. I'm fine.
Well, you're also super educated about cosmetics, but I understand what you're saying.
Right. So I'm not alone in this is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. Okay. And they also, they want to experiment, like, with everything. Like, they want to touch and play. So, you know, remember, like, you know, 10 years ago, if you went to the beauty counter and said, I'd like to see that, they might have to take something out from behind the counter.
Oh, yeah, no, I like an open cell format, as they call it. Like an Ulta where...
I didn't know it was called that.
Yeah, like, Ulta has that brush petting zoo.
That was the coolest name I ever heard.
Oh, my God, I need a petting zoo for every product. I want to touch, I want to play, and then I want you to go away and not help me while I figure it out. So, what's wrong with that? You're making a face.
No, see, I understand. I actually, you know, when Sephora first came out, like I thought like I died and gone to heaven. I was like hyperventilating.
I think you still are.
I think I am. Yeah, sorry. But the experience that I had at Charlotte like reaffirmed like how I felt when I was reading the article. I was reading the article like, you know, shaking my head, like getting pissed. I felt like the counter is so valuable. I think about even just the guests that we've had on the show, so many, like Chris Salgado, Troy Surratt, Deborah Littman, they've all started at counters. Yeah. And you could say, okay, well, that was a different time.
Patrick Starr,
yes. Mm-hmm. Like, these people are trained. Like, there's real education. Like, these brands that we love, like, they train their experts in a product that you're not going to see. And I'm speaking in a gross generalization here. But, like, YouTubers and lifestyle bloggers don't know the products as intimately, don't have the skill, don't go to makeup school or hair school or esthetician school to learn the ins and outs. And if you're just futzing around, I get it, like that's convenience too, in Sephora and saying, I'm going to take this, I'm going to use it this way, you're cheating yourself.
So you are not, what you're saying is you're not completely down with the millennial way of shopping that was reported on in this article?
I think it's one way, but I think to say like the counters suck, like an I know better is arrogant. Yeah. And it's really, if you love beauty and you love makeup and you're saying the counters suck, it's assuming you know more than the experts. Like I'm a beauty editor
at Cosmo. Let me bring up one other point, which is the reason I'm so wary of the counter is because I'm afraid of the hard sell. Like you go to the counter and you feel like their whole job is just to make you buy more products. So what do you say to those people that are afraid? Like if I go to the counter, I might get a tip, but then I'll feel guilted into buying something I didn't need.
I think like when I was 14 years old, I would say, I'm like to buy one eyeshadow today.
Oh, so you'll get like, the makeover.
We need
say,
to be
listen.
Stronger. Mm-hmm. Like it's not that hard. Just say,
so don't be afraid to go up to the counter, get the advice they have, even get the free makeover, and just be upfront. Like, yes, I'm going to buy something, but I can't buy a ton of stuff.
Yeah, and it's also supporting like the beauty industry. Like these jobs, like they're going away as malls are closing, counters are closing, stores are like.
Yeah,
it's a good thing to. I'm not saying always go to a counter.
This is Jess's PSA for the beauty industry. Public service announcement.
I feel passionately about it. I used to work for a beauty retailer, Space NK. Those I used to go into the shop sometimes just to like, you know, for an event or whatever I had to do. I would pick up tips that it's even as an editor at Cosmo, when I have a desk side with like an appointment when they come to the office and they teach me something, I'm like, I'm not an esthetician. I'm not a makeup artist. I didn't know that that's how you use that. I'm not great at applying my makeup or I'm crap at hair. Look at my hair.
Looks fine. But it is good advice. So don't be scared of the counter.
Rant over. Sorry.
Rant over. Jess out. Go to the counter. The end. Beauty school dropout. No graduation. Jess, do you know what a cherry angioma is?
No, but it sounds cute.
I know. I like the sound of it. I do not like the looks of it. So
what is it?
I noticed, I want to say when I was like, I don't know what age they started popping up, but these little tiny red dots that almost look like broken blood vessels on my chest, like a little blood blister almost.
Oh yeah, okay.
At first I was like, oh my God, I have skin cancer. And then I looked around and I asked derms, and they're like, no, they're cherry angiomas. They're completely benign, nothing to worry about.
Do they pop up just like randomly and then go away?
They never really go away though. Sorry, wine bubble. We're drinking wine to celebrate our number one in the beauty and fashion podcast. Did I mention that? No, they never go away. So you get them and you get more as you get older. And then you're just speckled with, instead of like freckles, these red cherry angiomas. So I asked a dermatologist about it and she said you can go to the dermatologist and get them either frozen off with the little cryotherapy wand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Burned or electrocuted off with like this little like zapper.
Surely insurance doesn't cover this stuff. This sounds cosmetic, right?
I'm pretty sure it's cosmetic, but it's also one of those really quick things apparently at the derm that's very cheap to do.
Okay.
So in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the derm and get it done. But listen, I'd rather be getting Botox than not spend my time on cherry angiomas. So I went online to find out how to get rid of them.
You're sick, woman.
I went searching like how to remove cherry angiomas at home. I don't recommend this as a dermatology like
this
fix.
From the woman who brought you a Dr. Pimple Popper a couple months ago.
Now you know what I do in my spare time. But I found a really compelling video from her name's Colorful Canary, so I know she's an expert. But in this video, she shows you how to get rid of cherry angiomas on your own. And I did it. And I live to tell about it.
Oh my God.
Okay, you want to know what happened?
Where is it? I'm looking for the welt.
Oh, I got rid of all 10 of them on my chest. Okay, so here's how it works.
Are we sure we should be telling listeners how to do this?
I also checked in with a dermatologist, okay. And I'll give you her reporting afterwards.
Okay.
So what you do is you take a paperclip, the end of a paperclip, you know the size of it, you heat it, you clean it with alcohol, heat it in a flame, and then you just press the very tip of the paperclip when it's super hot on the cherry angioma, and it makes the most satisfying sizzling pop you've ever heard in your life. It's like, pfft.
Does it smell?
No, it's not like when you burn your hair. And basically, you're cauterizing the blood vessel. And so then it's gone, and you have a teeny tiny little like burn mark. But you don't even, you really don't feel it. It's so small. Why are you smiling like that?
I'm just laughing because I'm like, I would be so afraid to do
this. It was the greatest afternoon of my life. I spent a Sunday. I got sick
in the office bathroom.
I got sick of the lighter, so I went over to my kitchen and I used the like burner flame because it was like more BTUs, I feel like. And then I just did my chest. I had about like 6 of them on the top of my chest, and I was like, sizzle, sizzle, pop, sizzle, sizzle, pop. And they're all gone.
I mean, your décolleté looks beautiful.
There was one right here. Sorry, that's really close.
Oh, wow. No. I mean, you.
And there's like barely a faint mark now. Before there was a
beautiful
red
skin,
cherry-colored blister. Now you're wondering what would a derm say?
Yeah.
So, because I'm a good reporter,
and
asked,
because we don't want to get sued, kids, don't try this at home.
Yes, exactly. So I asked Rupa Reddy, who is a dermatologist in Yerba Buena, California. I said that right. Yerba Linda. She's in Yerba Linda, California. She also happens to be one of my best friends. And she was like, I'm not completely opposed to this idea. However, she had two big caveats. One, she's like, you know alcohol is flammable, right? So don't.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that either. But so don't.
Oh my God. It could have gone so wrong.
Yeah. She was like, if you're going to put a paperclip in alcohol and then set it on fire, it could like really get on fire. So make sure it's dry before you heat it up. 2, she said, what if, God forbid, it's not a simple cherry angioma and it's actually an amelanotic melanoma? I guess that's a red type of skin cancer.
It sounds really bad.
You might cauterize the surface and it would disappear, but eventually it returns and it comes back worse and you got a delayed diagnosis for skin cancer. So she has a really good point, which is if you have red moles or red freckles on your chest or torso, you should get them checked by a derm before you try and do DIY dermatology.
Cauterizing.
Before you cauterize them with a hot paper clip in your kitchen.
I keep on looking at our producer, Vicky, and I'm just like waiting for her to stop this.
No, we've given our disclaimer.
Yeah.
I've told you what I did. It worked for me, but definitely get them checked by a derm first.
Please go see a derm if you spot anything unusual, different shapes, raised moles, redness. Wow. But I have to say, your décolleté does look like flawless.
So it worked. We are so happy to have Troy Surratt here. Troy, well, you're a makeup artist, but you are somebody that has come up time and time again.
He's like our unofficial mascot, I feel like.
you pop up in conversation all the time. It's like, oh, Troy said this. If you ask Troy Surratt, go talk to Troy. Seek Troy. But also just your amazing line has popped up in the spills from Daniel Martin to Pat Wexler to Deborah Littman.
Troy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I love the show. I was telling you before, I've listened to most all of them, I think, at this point, and I love it. I think that you guys have an amazing rapport. And
let's see how you feel about it after this.
don't grill me too much.
We'll go easy. So tell us, you grew up in a farm in Kansas. I know that
I did.
Much. What was Troy Surratt like on the farm?
There was a lot of nature, and mostly, I think, daydreaming, because from a very early age, I sort of dreamt about the life that I wanted to create for myself that was not on the farm. I joke that I was like, I think it's actually from the movie Gods and Monsters. It's a quote that I've sort of appropriated. I was like a giraffe given to a family of cattle farmers. And they
an
sort
exotic
of,
animal.
They didn't
like
know what to
exotic.
Do with me. I mean, yeah, they did not know what to do with me. And I was very, very attracted to my mother's train case full of makeup from a very early age. And I feel like I had signs very early on about what I was meant to do in life. I was very, very taken with makeup. But yeah, I joke that on the farm, the most glamorous thing that ever happened to me was when the Avon lady would come and call on my mom, and she would bring her case of samples and those tiny little Avon lipsticks. They were like tiny little bullet size, you know,
yeah.
Tile lipsticks. And then I think just being a kid of the 80s, I mean, like I was a teenager in the 80s, and that was when my interest really, really peaked with hair and makeup. I realized in the 80s with music video and the second British invasion, the power of hair and makeup to transform and to reinvent.
What was your favorite music video back then?
Oh my God, my favorite, all-time favorite song from my teenage years is Karma Chameleon by Culture Club.
Nice. So much makeup.
And
so
I'm
much
a huge, huge, huge Boy George fan. He's really like, he was such an inspiration to me then, because as a young person, being gay and on the farm and never meeting any other boys that wanted to play with makeup or Barbies. To me, he was such a symbol of, he was just a symbol of like, well, if he can be himself, I can do it and I'll be okay. I'll get through this and I'll figure it all out. So he was a big inspiration to me.
So how did you get to New York? So you have Boy George on your mind, you visions of, you know, little lipsticks. How did you get to New York, and what did you do when you get there?
Well, my parents divorced when I was 13, and my mother moved us to Topeka, which was actually probably really smart, because I think that as a 12 and 13-year-old living in the farming community that I lived in, I probably could have ended up really... I was already being terribly bullied, and I could have ended up really depressed. Yeah, I always did makeup and costuming for theater and community theater, and wanted to move to New York. So at 19, my parents were like...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
They had too much money to get loans and you know, financial aid, and not enough money to actually send me to New York to the school of my choice.
That, so, like, weird middle
that
ground.
Weird, yeah, you get screwed. It's called middle class,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, a dying breed. Yeah.
And so I went to work was doing visual merchandising for a local department store called the Jones Store. So I did this window, and this woman, Karen Shear, she was the account executive. She came to the department store, and she called me onto the floor because she was so impressed by the window that I made for them. And she said, you've done this beautiful window for me. I'd like to do something for you. What can I do for you? And I just blurted out, I want to be a makeup artist. And she said, I think I can make that happen. And so she hired me.
You had a fairy godmother.
She was. She's since passed, but she's one of the people that helped me along the way. And she hired me in Topeka, Lawrence, and Kansas City for her region to travel from store to store and to do makeup. And I was quite successful at it. And I worked from 19 to 21 in that area for Lancôme, saving money to move to New York City.
Wow, you were determined, you really...
I had to get here. Like, yeah. I sort of knew that I would get here and meet more like-minded people, yeah, and find my way. So, mm-hmm. And I had a very short list of people that I wanted to assist, and there were two names on it, and Kevin was at the very top. Mm-hmm. So I called Kevin O'Quan, and this is kind of a funny story. I called his business manager, Eric Sakis, and I said, on a dare. It was on a dare. My friend Joe, who worked with me at Alcone, just blatantly dared me one day to call Kevin. And so I called, and I was all nervous, and I said, I'll do anything. I'll make myself totally available to you. I'll shampoo brushes, you know, into all hours of the night. I really wanted to assist Kevin. And at that point, I was making like $15 an hour at Alcone. And Kevin's business manager, Eric, offered me a job for $12 an hour. I was eating mac and cheese, like generic mac and cheese. But I knew the value, you know, I knew lucky I would be.
That's
to be
good
there.
That's good advice for people. Like,
I've never been that person that had to have like the 9-to-5 and punch in and punch out and have insurance and benefits but I realized the value of being there. I thought that it would be an invaluable experience, and it was. Kevin made me feel like I belonged to something that was special and important, and I had really never had a tribe or a sort of a clique or a group of friends, and so he gave me a place to belong, and I felt like I was part of something that was of great magnitude. I felt, you know, the force of Kevin, and I was so, you know, so proud to be there. I would read letters from kids from all over the country that had written him saying that they wanted to assist him and that they would do anything and they would move to New York and can I assist you? Can I assist you? And I would read those letters, like fan letters, and it chokes me up because I knew that that was me. I was that lucky kid. I was like so happy to be there, you know, and I felt the, there are no accidents, but, you know, I felt the luck. I felt the gratitude for being there in the moment. So Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a wild and crazy experience. It was a really, really rich experience.
You're working on a project about Kevin's life. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I am working on a documentary film about Kevin's life. You guys are kind of scooping it. Like, I've talked to a few people in the industry.
Yeah, I didn't know this. How do you know that?
So I think I may have.
Tell us.
Did Daniel tell you? I think Daniel may have mentioned.
Maybe.
It.
I don't want to sell Daniel out. Should I say that, Daniel?
I had dinner with Daniel Martin, and I told him about it.
We have sources.
Yeah.
We have sources.
People everywhere. There are ears everywhere. So I've been working on it for over a year. A young director, a woman named Tiffany Bartok, who has become one of my dearest friends, approached me by email a couple of times, and I ignored her. And then finally, Nathaniel encouraged me. He's like, you just talk to this woman. It was like maybe her third email. That time was so sacred to me. And at one point I had sort of said that I wasn't going to talk about it anymore, because everyone still writes, Troy Surratt, the protege of Kevin O'Quan,
has launched. Does that piss
you off? It doesn't piss me off. I think that for a while I started to feel like it undermined my own, 17-year career. But to not talk about it and to not discuss it, I think would forsake him and would forsake what it means to me. And so I wanted to stop talking about it, because I didn't ever want anyone to think that I was coattail riding or that I was getting anywhere by using his name. And so I had proclaimed, I said that I'm not going to talk about that anymore. And I did a keynote where I sort of said everything that I had to say about it. And I was like, and now we're not going to mention him. And then Tiffany sort of came out of the blue and was like,
she's a documentary filmmaker?
Documentary filmmaker, mm-hmm. Yeah. She's directing the project. And she was like, come on, let's do this movie about Kevin. And she had realized that there were young people who didn't know who he was or what he had done to sort of to create the beauty culture as we know it today, I think. So,
yeah, can you just quickly...
Can you keep talking about Kevin? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I just, like, in a sentence, I think some of our listeners might not know who we're talking about. And yeah. They might think it's a line.
Yeah, just I think that it is... It's Kevin O'Quan was maybe... I have such great respect for Way Bandy as well. Way Bandy sort of inspired Kevin to do what he ended up doing. But Way Bandy was sort of the first celebrity makeup artist and author of beauty books. And then Kevin, I think, was the first celebrity makeup artist to become a very well-known household name. And he was an author of three beauty books and went on to have a line. He did photography. But I think that he was, referred to as the king of makeup. I still refer to him as the king of makeup. And I think that his effect on the beauty industry is just immeasurable. And I think that everything, that the phenomena of contour that, we're seeing everywhere on social media and Instagram, I think that that was all, it's all kind of the hangover of Kevin O'Quan, really.
Let's talk about your success.
Let's shine the light on you.
Yeah, so you started your line about 2.5 years ago, you said?
Yes, but...
But what?
It was a long labor of love.
Of course. It didn't just pop up a day after you thought of it. But there are a lot of lines. So what did you think you could bring out that would be different? And why did you start your line?
Well, I wanted to bring a level of quality, makeup artist quality, kind of a luxury makeup artist. It's referred to as a luxury makeup artist line. Which sort of hasn't really existed before, the luxury and the makeup artist sort of together.
Mm-hmm.
So in creating my brand, I really wanted to create a brand that I would want to shop myself.
Yeah.
And I thought that, well, if I like these things, there will be a bigger audience for them as well. You know, if I'm looking for this or if I would want this, I just took the leap of faith that there would be other people that would respond to it too. And so I wanted to create a brand that was for initially, like I had hoped that everyone would respond to it, but I said that I wanted to create a brand for the influencer, the early adopter, and let her sort of talk about it, and that it would sort of...
That means we are totally influencers. Totally.
No, but it's been early in the makeup, adopter.
But now it makes sense because it's been in the makeup bags of people in the industry.
Yeah.
And then it sort of cool spreads
and
out from there.
That's what I thought. That's the only way that I knew how to do it. I don't have a huge Instagram following. I joke that I...
Or like advertising budget or whatever.
I joke that I am 10 years too old for social media to be really, really easy for me. And
it's a struggle.
Like, the struggle is real. And we joke, Nathaniel and I joke all the time, if we'd had Instagram when we were, you know, traveling as much as we were all over the world working with, you know, so many people. But I wanted to create a line that would respond to the makeup geek. In Japan, they refer to it as an otaku. The beauty otaku.
Oh my God, we're changing the name of our podcast immediately.
We need to talk about the fact that Instagram hijacked your logo.
Oh, wow.
Like your coloration.
Noted. As soon as I saw that, I was in bed like,
I was like, that's got mascara.
I know. I wonder if we need to... Okay, we'll have to talk
Let's
about
talk
this later.
Let's talk about otaku.
An otaku is someone who has a... So you have manga otaku, and they're people who are really obsessed with Japanimation and, you know, that
so it's
whole
like a super
cartoon
fan.
Culture. And they call me in Japan a beauty otaku because I know the market really, really well. And it's like a super geek of anyone. So you can be like a hot sauce otaku or you can be like a sneaker otaku.
Okay.
And so
makeup otaku.
Kind of, I guess, yeah.
Troy-san, makeup attack.
Troy-sama, they call me.
Oh, is that more revered or something?
Yes.
Shut up. You're like a legend.
They call me Troy-sama now. But no, it's good. It's so I produce everything in Japan.
Yeah.
And I joke that I've done everything the hard way. So all of our primary packaging is produced in Japan, and we tooled.
The packaging is beautiful.
Thank you. We tooled everything from scratch. So often people will go to manufacturers, and they'll sort of just put a logo on a package that already exists. But we actually tooled all of our primary packaging and the system itself, the customizable system, so that the blushes and eyeshadows stick into the compacts.
Tell me about this eyeliner with the flick, because you did Adele's eye makeup during 21, correct?
Yeah, we did all of the U.S. press for 21. And it's so funny. We were talking the other day about... one day, we were with Adele sitting in Whole Foods eating salad, and then the next day she was famous, like the biggest star in the world. And we're like, we couldn't sit in Whole Foods with Adele anymore.
That's
like
funny.
But that's why you love Adele, because you totally could. She'd be like,
I don't
Whole
know.
Foods.
I think she would be so bothered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does this eyeliner make it easy for?
Yeah, it's a refillable eyeliner. I brought one to show you on the way out the door. So it's inspired by a Japanese calligraphy brush. So the brush itself is fiber. It's not a felt tip because I don't like that whole category of felt tip eyeliners. I think that they sort of lift off what's underneath. You can't.
Oh,
if you have an eyeshadow base on and then you felt tip over.
Yeah.
It can make you a little crazy.
It sort of pills and lifts off. I think gel liners often do the same thing.
Okay.
So we created a liner that is rechargeable, and it's like a fine writing instrument. It's a capillary system, so the ink flows into the tip.
That looks like the pen I got at graduation from college. That's crazy.
And it's refillable. It just takes a minute, and it flows into the brush.
Yeah, this is like a very fancy pen.
And then it's buildable, so you can build upon itself.
Wait, is this product available now?
This is like a calligraphy.
How have I not seen this?
That is a beautiful line.
What other products do really well for you that you found people have just been super attracted to?
Well, when I was pitching the whole project and I was going around and meeting with, you know, prospective accounts and you know, showing it to Barney's, and I, everyone would say, well, what are your, what's your hero? Or what are your hero products? And I would sort of joke that, well, I've created an American Justice League full of heroes. Like, they're all heroes. Like, this one's Wonder Woman and this one's Superman. So,
do they laugh?
Yes. Okay. But as a makeup artist, I tried to make everything a hero. And but the you know, the clear kind of front runners are the smoky eye baton, the autographic eyeliner, the brow pomade. The whole brow category does really well for us. All of the customization. My shadows and blushes are really special because they're a Japanese technology called slurry, which was patented in Japan, and they all start out as a liquid before they become a powder. So they are, you know, traditionally blushes and shadows are crammed into metal pans using force and pressure. And with the slurry process, they're sort of the texture of like a thick milkshake or cake batter, and they're poured into the little resin pans. We have done away with the aluminum pan.
Okay.
And then they're gently pressed, and the moisture evaporates out of the formula, and it leaves behind a more, almost a creamier texture
that's
more
delicious.
Beautiful and blendable and easier to use. And so that whole powder category does really, really well for us.
Now might be a good time, if you wouldn't mind. We wanted to see what you love and what you bring around with you.
Now it's time for the spill. So
he knows what it's called. I love it. You're a true fan.
So I guess I brought a lot of things, but I'm a huge La Mer fan. So I the concentrate is one of my favorite things. I use it personally, and I use it on clients, and it makes an amazing moisturizer / makeup primer.
You are luxury through and through,
yeah.
Sir.
I'm a huge La Mer fan. Kevin used it and he turned me on to it back in the day, and I've used it for myself and my clients ever since. And then I have my own eyelash curler in here. I sometimes curl my lashes when I'm jet lagged and need to look bright eyed and bushy tailed for something. I have these amazing Japanese sleeping pills that Anne-Marie Guarnieri turned me on to. We were in Tokyo together. They have a sleepy kitty.
Oh, he's not so
sleepy in the picture, but they're Druwell Japanese sleeping pills that over the counter.
I'm going to take a picture because I'm not going to remember.
That's
how to
adorable.
Write that.
These are my favorite Japanese eye drops. They look like
they're
in a perfume bottle.
That's the most beautiful thing.
And they smell like rose water. And they tingle when you put them in your eye, but
I don't want to like contaminate your eye drops, but that's gorgeous.
Troy has the best spill of anyone.
I know.
So
I feel
far.
Like this is really.
I feel
glamorous.
Like mine is like I'm like you're such a girl, Troy. You have so many products.
No, this is really nice.
Chanel, this is my SPF for
UV essential
daily basis.
This is pure luxury.
And this is one of those shaky.
but it's so, you don't feel it on your skin at all. It's super lightweight, but it's a 50, so that's my favorite SPF. Certain Dry. This you put this on at night, and then you shower and sort of wash it off. And
the clinical
strength, but like,
oh,
that's amazing.
Too harsh for me. That like tore up my pits.
It makes your pits itch, but you do not sweat. So that's
if you have pits left.
Priorities.
Yeah, no, I'll never forget that night. Troy, thank you so much for coming. We could talk to you all day, but
Troy,
we have to let you go.
Arigato gozaimasu, Troy-sama.
What was the word?
Arigato gozaimasu.
I don't know what you said. What?
Beauty otaku.
Yes, fact. And I said thank you very much, honored Troy. Peace.
Thank you.
Jess, let's raise a freaking wand, shall we?
Yes.
What do you have? Sorry, I'm eating pretzels. I have a new face oil that I'm really into. It is called Shea Terra Organics Egyptian Cat.
carrot seed. People, I'm calling it now. Carrot seed oil is the new argan oil, is the new coconut oil, is the new everything.
Oh, I love that concept.
Yeah. So carrot seed, much like the rose hip, isn't just a carrier oil. It's also active. It has like an anti-aging property to it. But this Shea Terra one, I just feel like all healthy, like, I just feel like Gwyneth Paltrow when I put it on. Like, it has that smell that's that, like, that nice herbal smell. It soaks in really well. And I'm moisturizing, but I'm also getting anti-aging benefits. So here, Shea Terra Organics Egyptian, also Egyptian carrot seed oil.
I love that.
So fancy.
So exotic.
Yeah, 100% pure and natural. I've been loving this stuff. Ta-da!
Love that.
P.S. I should point out, this Shea Terra oil is only $19.99, which is, like, a pretty good deal for 2 ounces of face oil. So that's a good benefit, too. All right, Jess, what are you raising a wand to this week?
I just got back from a business trip, and the hotel had the most amazing freaking bathtub. And if there's a bathtub, I'm in it.
Are you raising a wand to a bathtub?
I'm raising a wand to baths. I don't understand, like, why we're not bathing instead of showering. Like, I used to take a shit ton of baths when, like, I had a decent bath. Now my bath is, like, real shallow. It's, like, sitting in a little pot, and, like, the water is, like precariously, like, even with the ledge.
So you're Cleopatra-ing this week. Raise a wand to bath.
You can't do anything. I brought a book in. The pages got all wet. I just sat there, and I just chilled. I mellowed for, like, 15 minutes.
I like it.
I came out, I was like a nicer person.
Love it.
Take a bath. Get a cat.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.